We are in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 20 today. The title of this lesson is The Dangers of Bad Fruit. Bad fruit can make you sick, can't it? That is not something you want to eat. In this particular passage, it reads, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." One immutable law of science is that plants and animals reproduce after their own kind. You have an apple seed, you plant it in the ground, what do you think you'll get? An apple tree, right? And then it produces its own fruit. It produces apples from that. And this is true for people too. If you see pictures of me at the age of my kids, well, let's just say it's really hard to deny them. There's looks just like me at that age. I do see Victoria in there too, but I haven't seen a whole lot of baby pictures of you. We need to fix that. Incidentally, this law of science, that one reproduces after its own kind, is found, we can see this in Genesis chapter 1, that he creates them after their own kind. They create, or they reproduce after their own kind. And at the same time, this countermands the law or the theory of evolution. But that's a different topic. We might talk about that some other time. This is also true in a spiritual sense. This is true in a spiritual sense. In this passage, Jesus is talking about false teachers, and he tells us how we can recognize them by their fruits, by what they produce. So let us consider this in context. Looking at the first part of chapter 7, we can't see their hearts, right? We can't see the hearts of people who might be, of anybody, really, false teachers teachers of the truth. We can't tell just by looking at them. We can't tell it from their hearts, but we can tell by their actions, by what they produce, and we can judge accordingly. We need to recognize them to make sure we are receiving the right answers when we ask, finding the truth when we seek, and that the right doors are open to us when we knock upon them. We need to make sure that we are on that narrow path. Remember last week we talked about that broad path and that narrow path. We need to make sure we are on that narrow path that leads to life, not the broad path that leads to destruction. And the next week we'll look at verses 21 through 23. We need to make sure we are doing the Father's will. And the last several verses, 24 to 27, we need to make sure that our house is built on the rock. We do not want our house to be built on an unsteady foundation, but on the rock of truth. We've got 3 points this morning. The first one, danger exists. The third one, danger spotted. And the third one, danger's outcome. Danger's outcome. First verse here, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." False prophets exist. That is what he is saying here. False teachers exist. False apostles exist. These people try to steer you away from God and away from the truth. They might even believe their own teachings, some of them. But the Bible warns about them in many different places. Paul, in his letters to Timothy and Titus, the main purpose that I believe, anyway, for 2 Peter is about false teachers and false teachings.
And of course, Jesus warns about them in various other places, including the one we've just read. And we see examples of false teachers. We see Alexander and Hymenaeus mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We see Hymenaeus and Philetus mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the Nicolaitans mentioned in Revelation 2. And these are only in the New Testament. We also see Apollos in Acts chapter 18. Was he a false teacher? Well, we'll talk more about him in a minute. He was teaching things falsely up until he was taught more accurately. In the Old Testament, there were so many that were talked about. There was Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, in 1 Kings chapter 22. There was Hananiah, the son of Azor, in Jeremiah 28. And Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, in Amos chapter 7. And plenty more that we could talk about. The prophets of Baal, Satan himself in the Garden of Eden. There were so many that we could talk about that we'd be here all day if we did. The thing is, you might not recognize them right away. This passage says that they come in sheep's clothing. You might not notice the wolf tail hanging out the back there, or the ears popping out, or the snout. You might not notice all that. They come in sheep's clothing, but they are quite the opposite. And it's no surprise. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, that Satan appears as an angel of light. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We see that Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. And so we might notice the sheep's clothing and might not notice the wolf inside. They say all the right things. They know exactly how to look with their suits, perfectly trimmed hair, all the accessories that go with that. They might know exactly how to look. They might know exactly what to say to get you to do what they want. But inwardly, they seek your harm, not your good. And they take various forms. The two I have two mentioned here, maybe there's more, but one is the intentional false teacher. These are people whose motives are evil. We can see this, that Paul describes them in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. They serve their own bellies, their own desires. They'll say anything to get you onto their side. The most obvious ones that many of us are familiar with, if we turn on the TV, certain stations, are televangelists. There might be some good ones, I don't know. But many of them teach what is called a prosperity gospel. And such is no gospel at all. They promise so many things that in order to research for this particular lesson, I subjected myself to three of them, and that was enough. Some of them were better than others, I will grant. But probably the worst offender, I don't know. Should I say names? I want to say names. Joel Osteen was the worst of the three I looked at. Because he was, in that particular lesson I looked at, a door is going to be opened to you. You might be in a bad situation now, but a door is going to be opened to you. It's going to happen. How do you know, Joel? You don't know. And he cited several passages completely out of context. And then he shows up with Acts chapter 12. And I think, oh, this is going to be interesting. Because the beginning of Acts chapter 12, James, the son of Zebedee, is killed. Peter, he is in prison. And a door is open for him. An angel opens a door for him. That's true. But what about James? He mentions James, but he kind of skips over it. Man, what if you're a James? God does not promise an open door, at least not physically. God promises an open door to heaven, to his kingdom. He doesn't promise you wealth, health. He doesn't promise you any of those things. And there are some that were better than others. That was probably the worst of the three that I looked at. But really, they seek your money. One of them, another one, said, well, the title of this lesson is Prepare for Increase. Oh, well, okay. And then the topic was on complaining. And I thought, well, wait a second, what's going on here? Complaining is a good topic to talk about. That's what is good about that. You know, we aren't supposed to complain. The Bible is pretty clear about that. The reasoning, though, And at the beginning, this person said, you know, this is about complaining, but if I had titled this about complaining, I wouldn't sell any books. That person said that right in the lesson. Man. People are only after your money, not after the truth. Some are unwitting false teachers, not educated properly or perhaps mistaken about one thing or another. These people are sincere, and they truly believe what they teach. And I'm sure there are some on TV too. I didn't listen to any of those because, I didn't have time. And yet they're doctrine tends to tear churches apart. This is true of the many denominations that we see out there, and this is true among those even in the churches of Christ. There are some who are false teachers who teach something that isn't right. And they need to be called out. Apollos was one of those. Apollos was one of those. But, of course, Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18, they didn't lambast him in front of everybody. They took him aside and taught him more accurately. And you know how you know a true false teacher and one that's not a true false teacher? Is if they listen and obey the word of God. They might be mistaken in one particular thing. I might say things up here that might not be entirely right because I don't have perfect knowledge of the word of God. Who does? Nobody does. We can study and look at this as best as we can, but there might be some things here or there that might not be quite right. And that's true for anyone who speaks up here. I pray that I'm speaking the truth when it comes to matters of utmost importance, our faith, our salvation, how we worship, these things. I pray that I am. And I believe that I am. Of course, there might be some instances where I'm not. And if you think that I'm not, and you want to come to me later and talk about that, please do so. And note, though, that I very likely have a reason for believing what I say, and maybe you'll be willing to listen as well. But again, who knows? There might be something that I need to be taught more accurately on, as Apollos was. And I recognize that in my own humility. So, the Bible then tells us how we can tell who a false teacher is and who isn't. In verses 16 through 18, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. In the Old Testament, we see that there were certain tests that were performed to determine, or that could be performed, to determine whether or not someone was a false prophet. The first one I want to look at, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18.
We mentioned Deuteronomy 18 a little earlier in this study because, this morning, I mean, because of the prophet that is to come, and that is certainly talked about there. But then Moses anticipates a question. How will we know who this prophet is? Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And then he anticipates this question. If you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Then Moses answers, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So if a prophecy does not come to pass that he says, then we shouldn't listen to him. In fact, he says such a man should be killed. Don't kill people. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. This is the other test. We'll talk more about these after we read these. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The first test is if he says something that doesn't come to pass, then you should not listen to him. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the word of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God has Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. The penalty we notice in both of these of a false teacher is death. I'm not saying you should go out and kill people, whether they are speaking truth or lies. But it does show the severity of a false teacher here in Deuteronomy. It also gives us a test that we can use. How many false predictions have been given concerning the second coming of Christ? How many? There's a Facebook post, maybe there's a shirt or something that says, yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but this is my 17th apocalypse that I've lived through. Because so many people try to say, some of the more recent ones, 2012, right? There was a big Mayan apocalypse thing that was supposed to happen. We're still here. Harold Camping, if you were familiar with that, the year before in 2011 said, it would come in May of 2011. It didn't happen. It's going to come in October. We shouldn't listen to him. But more than that, if someone tells you something, even if he does tell you something that's going to come to pass, even if he does some kind of sign and miracle, if he tells you to do something contrary to the word of God, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. What that tells me is that a prophet is not the final authority. The word of God is. The word of God is our final authority. It says you will know them by their fruits. When you go to a grocery store and you want to find apples, I mentioned apples again, you'll find apples, oranges, bananas, things of that nature. You go to the produce aisle, right? You could translate this, you will know them by their produce, or by what they produce. You will know them by what they do. And this extends to what they preach as well. In order to tell what a good fruit is, though, you have to know something about that fruit, don't you? I'm going to tell on my wife a little bit. I hope it's okay. Yeah? All right. My wife, she doesn't like raw tomatoes or avocado. And so, before we were married, she never bought them. Why would she? She doesn't like them. Or if she did, it was a very rare occasion. But after we got married, she wanted to get things that I liked. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, I love tomatoes, and I love, before getting married, I didn't get avocados that much, but she gets them all the time now, and man, the kids love them too. It's great. But there's the tomato and the avocado. But she didn't really know what a good tomato or a good avocado looked like. In fact, even still today, she'll ask me, hey, is this avocado? Does this avocado look good? And that's fine. Again, I'm appreciative of that. And she's learning as we're going about, you know, this is a good tomato, hon. This is a good avocado. And she's learning, but she didn't know at first. She's not familiar with that particular thing. She was inexperienced with those fruits to know what a good fruit looked like, to know what a good tomato or a good avocado looked like. And this is true for us. We will not recognize good spiritual fruit if we're not familiar with it. If we're not familiar with the scriptures, we will not recognize good spiritual fruit. Good fruit is doing the Father's will. Chapter 7, verse 21 of Matthew tells us about those who cried, Lord, Lord, but they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven because they weren't doing the Father's will. Verse 24 tells us that if you obey these sayings of mine, if you hear them and do them, then you are like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And that includes keeping yourself away from hatred, from lust, from lying. It includes turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, and loving your enemies. It includes benevolence, prayers, and fasting done in secret. It includes serving him and trusting him so that you do not worry. It includes judging righteously, choosing the difficult path that leads to life. You see, bad fruit does not do these things. If you didn't catch on, that was a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. Finally, in this section, danger's outcome, Matthew 7, 19 and 20. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So what happens to bad fruit? Well, very plainly it says it is thrown into the fire. That is an indication to us if we are producing bad fruit. Those on the broad and easy way, they are headed to destruction. They're headed to the fire. Next week, we'll talk more about that, more about those who do not do the Father's will, those who practice lawlessness. We want to make sure that our own fruit is good. I want us to look at ourselves for a few minutes on this one. We look at false teachers, that they have bad fruit. We try to determine whether or not someone has bad fruit, but we need to look at ourselves as well to make sure that our fruit is where it needs to be. Consider the fruit of the Spirit talked about in Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. This is not just the fruit of the Spirit, but the produce of the Spirit. What produces, what comes from obeying God's word. Paul contrasts these these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit with the works of the flesh, with things we must avoid a little earlier in the chapter. You see, these fruits of the Spirit, these are things that we need to focus on in our lives. But the things that we need to avoid, these works of the flesh, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things to avoid. These are evidence of bad fruit. The next two verses, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Do any of these sound familiar? If you've been paying attention from last week's lesson and today's lesson, we can compare some of these things to what are often called the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. They mention faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You see, Paul warned that those who practiced the works of the flesh would not inherit the kingdom of God. We see that there's only one alternative, and that alternative is not a pleasant prospect. That alternative is hell. Jesus describes this place in several passages in the gospel accounts that this is a place of destruction, as being thrown into a fire, apart from God, tormented in a flame, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. John in Revelation describes this as a lake of fire and brimstone and the second death. This is where false teachers go, as well as those led by the false teachers. I don't take any joy in saying that. I wish that all men would, if they were a teacher, that they teach the truth. I wish that everyone would follow teachers of truth and not false teachers, but that's not the case. In every one of the videos that I saw of these false teachers that I mentioned, they had stadiums full of people. And we were happy a few weeks ago to have 54. It's not something I take pleasure in. It's not something that I want to happen. And you don't want to know something? That's not something God wants to happen either. God wants all men to come to repentance. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I pray that all men do, just as our Lord wanted. Certainly is a sad state of affairs. It's why we strive to teach others the truth, bearing good fruit, doing works befitting repentance, as Paul mentioned in Acts chapter 26. In our commitment to teach the truth of the Scriptures, we strive to bear such good fruit. To that end, if there's anything, as I mentioned earlier, if there's anything that you think that we've said that is wrong, let us know. Recognize that we probably have a reason for it and that we might share that with you. Unless I made an obvious error and said that Moses built the ark, you know, if I said something like that, I'll recognize, oh yeah, you're right. Sorry, I misspoke. And that happens from time to time. We all have reasons for the things that we say, for the most part. And I hope that you'll recognize that. And I hope that if I am saying something wrong, that you'll tell me. Because who knows? I might change my mind I am ever learning, just as we all are. And I thank God for that capacity that the Lord has given me at this point in my life. And I hope that you are learning as well. To that end, we also offer Bible studies. There are some people in here who are engaged in Bible studies. And we offer Bible studies to those who are interested in the things that we do. And if you're interested, please contact us. We want to share the gospel with you. We want to share the Bible with you. We want you to know what the Bible says. We want you to know what the Bible says, because we believe that that truth, that is God's word, will make us free. John 17:17, John 8:32. This is how we test all things. You know, and I guess I skipped over it. I don't know why it's not in there, but the Bible invites us to test all things. We've got to test. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to test all things, hold fast to that which is true. We've got to test these things. First John 4:1 tells us, brethren, my beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then we see the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and that they searched the scriptures daily. They received what the apostles said with all readiness, but they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. We are commanded to test all things, to test the spirits, and we have an example of that in the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Therefore, that is something we must do. This is how we test all things. This is how we test the spirits. This is how we search the scriptures. We look, we study, we find the truth. If we don't go by them, if we don't go by the word of God, we're lost. This evening, or this morning, I should say. There we go again, saying something wrong. Misspoke. This morning, you might need to make a commitment to Christ. This morning, you might need to obey Him, obey the gospel. This morning, you might need to express your faith in Him. You might need to confess His name, repent of your sins, and put Him on in baptism. You might need to do that. And in our commitment to following after God's word, we ask that if you need to do that, please do that. Come forward as we're going to sing in a little bit. Come forward at that time, and we'll help you do just that. If you are a child of God and you've been listening to false preachers thinking that they're teaching you the truth and you need to repent of that, please do. If you are bearing bad fruit, we want you to bear good fruit. We want you to be obeying and doing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We want you to do those things. If you have a need this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.